Ever since Bisharp, of all things, got an evolution in Gen 9, it made everyone realize just how many Pokemon seem to be missing evolution, so to speak. You know, the Pokemon who reach their supposed final form and you're like, that's it? But they're still so bad. And even if some Pokemon like Onix and Golbat were realized to clearly not be final stage Pokemon and were given new evolutions, many, many Pokemon aren't so lucky. So we're going to examine several Pokemon that have plenty of potential, but seem to be missing something. Either their base stat total or BST is just too low, and thus they require an evolution or something like that. We're starting off with this would-be VGC superstar, if only it would get a little help with Aromatisse. Aromatisse wants to be a VGC supporter extraordinaire. It's a bulky fairy type with Trick Room, Ally Switch, and Helping Hand. What a phenomenal start. What's really amazing about it though, is its ability Aroma Veil, which makes it immune to Taunt. This is an absolutely incredible trait for a Trick Room setter. Being immune to Encore is pretty great too. Oh, actually, it's even better than that. Aroma Veil makes it so that its allies are immune to Taunt and Encore. How could you not love these support capabilities? Well, Aromatisse's stats, while a far cry from bad, are pretty underwhelming, which is why it's long been overshadowed by its stronger Trick Room setting competition despite their lack of such an amazing ability. This might come as a surprise at first glance, as Aromatisse has a decent BST of 462, which is unique and comes in just above Pokemon like Breloom, Camerupt, and Sharpedo at 460. That sounds great until you realize that Breloom is the rare example of a Pokemon whose other qualities far transcend the BST. Camerupt and Sharpedo are decent but didn't take off until they got Megas, and other 460 BSTs include less impressive Pokemon like Tropius, Lumineon, and Greedent. Aromatisse is of course far more on the decent side, but it doesn't quite get far beyond that. Base 101 HP is great, and it's got pretty good base 89 special defense, but that sums it up entirely. It's decent to pretty good in most areas, and doesn't become more than the sum of its parts. Rather, it winds up underwhelming, as it's not as tanky as you'd like or need it to be, and it certainly doesn't hit very hard. Base 99 special attack is, again, pretty decent, but even the innate excellence of Stab Moonblast can't elevate it much further than that. Its lower base 72 defense is to be expected, and it doesn't do a bad job alongside such great HP, but basically it's good and it's not so good come together to leave you wanting. Thus, Aromatisse as an amalgamation of averageness winds up paling in comparison to your other options, and it doesn't get used. This makes it a prime candidate for an evolution. The tools are already there, and all it really needs to potentially hit the big time are for its stats to go a bit higher, which isn't unreasonable considering that its non-HP stats are actually not that high. In fact, they're very much in line with what a second stage Pokemon could be. Here's what third stage Aromatisse could look like. Base HP cranked to 111, defense to 82, special defense to 99, and special attack to 109. That's all Aromatisse needs, plus 10 to the key stats for a total of 40 BST, maintaining its unique stat spread to give it a major boost without going over the top. Now it's very tanky, even more able to get that Trick Room off, and able to get that Helping Hand or Ally Switch off afterwards. And when it's not supporting its team, it's hitting a lot harder with Stab Moonblast. The possibility of Nasty Plot Aromatisse just got a whole lot more appealing, potentially a dangerous threat in its own right. Maybe it can even go with Draining Kiss, which, despite the lower power, would reinforce this new bulk wonderfully through its large swaths of recovery, especially if boosted. Aromatisse could also use some coverage to threaten steals, so we'll give it some options that seem to fit the design, like Mystical Fire and Aura Sphere. It'd be a terrific choice for Trick Room teams, and all-out support, offensive juggernaut, or a mix of both. As a side note, Aromatisse getting an evolution might imply that its counterpart Slurpuff would also receive one, which we would be all for, if only to see how large a cake it would become. But not as large as our next Pokemon on our list, Cloth. But before we talk about how this crab could have meteor claws, here's a word from our sponsor, the GOAT Surfshark VPN. A VPN, or virtual private network, is a server that you can connect to that encrypts not only your private data, but also your location. You can even use this to pretend like you're in another country. Now, why would this come in handy? Well, with streaming services like Netflix, you're often region locked. For example, if I were to vacation in Japan, where there are no subtitles on my anime, I could use Surfshark and change my VPN back to the US or vice versa, and now I have American Netflix wherever I go. You can do this with multiple countries because Surfshark has 3,200 plus servers in over 100 countries. You supercharge any streaming service you have by doing this. And of course, being a VPN, Surfshark keeps your outgoing data encrypted and safe. For example, I travel a decent amount, which means I'm often at the airport and need to use the Wi-Fi to keep track of my spending, because sometimes I go overboard on overpriced meals. But people on the public Wi-Fi at the airport could be lurking using to access some of my sensitive data. But thanks to Surfshark, I just booted up and my data is safe and secure. And one of the best features that separates Surfshark from the other VPNs is that you can use it on unlimited devices. That's right, no additional subscriptions required. You can put it on all of your devices. And there's no risk thanks to their 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want a sick VPN and also support the channel to help us produce more content, you can click the link in the description below and go to surfshark.com/falsewipe for 4 extra months of Surfshark. And thank you so much to Surfshark VPN for sponsoring this video. Cloth has a lot of potential to do something interesting. With okay 450 BST to start off, it's never going to be the most consistent strategy in the world, but its shell anger ability offers unique threat potential. At half health or less, it goes -1 in defense and special defense, but gains +1 in attack, special attack, and speed. Its special attack is non-existent, so that part is pointless, but still, a free Dragon Dance simply for doing something that a lot of Pokemon wind up doing anyway, that's pretty sweet, and can make for some great synergy with Substitute. Cloth's also packing Swords Dance, so it's just begging to go sauce buck wild on some defensive Pokemon. It's got quite a move pool too. In addition to the obligatory stab Stone Edge, it's also packing excellent coverage in the complementary ground type High Horsepower, the superb water coverage of Crab Hammer to drop ground types that would resist Stone Edge, the knockoff whose item removal makes it even harder to answer, and potentially even the fire type Temper Flare to more reliably sting grass types, especially those with secondary types that might resist Stone Edge. Cloth doesn't have to go all in on the risk of Shell Anger though. It can also opt for the polar opposite in terms of consistency, Regenerator, which allows it to pose a rare form of danger in that, rather than get worn down as most attackers do, it would be able to heal up upon switching out, thus ensuring its onslaught upon its next switch it wasn't nearly as compromised as the average offensive Pokemon taking damage would be. Regenerator, Knockoff, Swords Dance, these are amazing tools for one Pokemon to have that would greatly harangue any defensive team facing it. Sadly, Cloth has a lot of flaws, which far overshadow the good, and it can largely be chalked up to its stat spread seemingly strangely incomplete. Base 70 HP, not great, but fine. Base 100 attack, okay, you'd expect more, but sure, that's workable. Base 115 defense, that's great. Special attack, you're not using that anyway, so who cares? Special defense, you can expect to be lower on a physically focused crustacean Pokemon, but 55 feels a little egregious, and base 75 speed, which is certainly workable, but is on the lower side nonetheless. When you combine all these stats that feel less than, you get a Pokemon that feels less like a standalone single stage, and more like a Pokemon whose second stage evolution never came along. So let's help Cloth realize some potential with the evolution it deserves. What's good about this is, like Aromatisse, Cloth doesn't exactly need a major overhaul, just a bit more. Simply giving its evolution +10 attack, bringing it up to base 110 would be great, but seeing as the other crap Pokemon hit hard, we're going to put it at base 114, which comes in just under Kabutops. The hit-taking ability would be greatly enhanced on both sides of the spectrum with +10 as well. Base 80 is respectable, and alongside gaining a +10 boost to defense, bringing it to base 125, it'd be quite physically tanky while staying well within reason. Its special defense isn't going to be great, but by boosting it from 55 to 70, it's no longer paper thin, while remaining within the tradition of the low special defense crab Pokemon. Finally, its base speed can go from 75 to 80, basically going from Kingler to Kabutops, which is fitting giving it's got a speed boosting ability. With a +54 boost to its BST, this evolved Cloth would come in at 504, just under 505 BST Pokemon like Machamp, Roserade, and the Gen 8 fossils. It'd still be a lower tier Pokemon, no doubt about it, but it'd be an actually decent one, as opposed to the non-entity it is now. It'd be able to pull off the Anger Shell strategy against fellow low BST Pokemon since it now actually hit hard, as opposed to the flat lip service decent base 100 of before that you play around without trying even if it got a boost. The slightly better speed would help a lot too. A little goes a long way, especially in a game that comes down to such close percentages as Pokemon. And the increased bulk would effectively enhance the offensive threat further by making it more difficult to revenge kill. This evolved Cloth could also make superb use of Regenerator for a more consistent approach, effectively enhancing its bulk even more for both offensive and defensive purposes. Being mono rock in this day and age is rough, but an evolution would help Cloth utilize its traits to genuinely decent ends. Just like our next Pokemon in need of one with Fearow. Of Kanto's normal flying birds, Fearow has been the most neglected by far. Pidgeot got a complete overhaul with his Gen 6 Mega Evolution, while in Gen 7, Dodrio got a serious buff to its base speed and move pool. Firo, on the other hand, doesn't even get Brave Bird for some reason. Even if it did, it'd be among the worst Pokemon in the game, of course. But still, this is basically the bare minimum. Unless they're saying that since it has fear in its name, it can't be brave, which feels like dubious logic. More likely, though, is that they simply forgot it exists, which makes sense considering it was left out of the game in both Gen 8 and 9. Most Pokemon relegated to the National Dex do so for one gen or the other. However, the blandness that led to Firo's forgettability, vis-a-vis both Brave Bird and inclusion in the game, stems from the fact that its base stat total clocks in at a stunningly low 442. This is barely above the base stat totals of 440, boasted by not fully evolved Pokemon, Klang and Vigoroth. Firo is the only Pokemon with this base stat total, which is cool for trivia night, but competitively useless. Compare this to Dodrio at 460 pre-Gen 7 buff and Pidgeot at 469. Not only this, but none of its stats are particularly impressive. It's got base 100 speed, which is certainly nice, and base 90 attack is pretty decent in and of itself, but on a normal flying type with no move pull or other stats to speak of, it's toast. This is what makes it feel like something's missing, and why it'd be perfect for an evolution. We're not going to suggest a complete playstyle overhaul, just a way to make it a solid normal flying type that has some actual stats and something unique for its game so it's no longer just discount Dodrio or Staraptor. For that matter, it already gained access to Drill Run, which provides superb ground coverage with a high crit rate that goes along with its crit strengthening sniper ability. But let's give it a different ability. Firo's evolution will overcome its fear to learn Brave Bird and receive a new ability, Fearless, that halves the self-inflicted damage from recoil move. Now, Firo just needs some stats to make use of both this and its other stab, Double Edge. Let's punch it up to a base 120 speed, which is more than reasonable at this point, and 110 attack, which is also plus 20 to its original and allows it to match Dodrio and Scyther. Since we can assume this new form of Firo would be much larger in design, we can also give it a much higher HP stat, so as to be even less bothered by recoil from Brave Bird and Double Edge, especially if it equips heavy duty boots for longevity. Let's send it from 65 to 95, and while we're at it, let's make both of its defenses 75. This combines for a base stat total boost of 94, bringing Firo from 442 to 536, which is one point ahead of many notable Pokemon like Annihilate, Swampert, and Magnezone. But seeing as Firo is still going to be a normal flying type, it's going to be more on par with the low tier 535 BST Pokemon like Lapras, Vanillix, and Duraludon, the latter of which of course eventually received its own evolution. Still, at least this way, Firo would feel like a fully fledged Pokemon, and not something left unfinished. As a bonus, a Firo evolution would suggest that Dodrio should get one as well. So, one with four heads? And speaking of early route Pokemon that really need an upgrade, our next Pokemon on our list is Mightyena. Poochyena might be meant as an early game Pokemon to be used by Team Aqua and Magma Grunts, but there's no reason for its evolution to be so pitiful, especially as it's meant to be the impressive leadoff Pokemon for those team's leaders, Archie and Maxie. It even has the Intimidate ability to really hammer home the intended effect, and winds up being betrayed by its complete inability to do anything though. Mightyena is actually not lacking in interesting things to do whatsoever. Dark Stab is great, and only got better with Steel ceasing to resist it in Gen 6, and said Dark Stab includes one of the game's best priority moves and Sucker Punch, and it even had the interesting utility of Heal Bell before it got yeeted out of its move pool in Gen 9. Plus, in addition to the all-timer ability that is Intimidate, it's also got the potential for amazing late-game cleanup with Moxie boosting its attack upon gaining a KO. It's the most niche of its three, but Mightyena even got Quick Feet to boost its speed, meaning it can equip a Toxic Orb to both get faster and gain a 140 base power facade. The problem is that stat-wise, Mightyena is the pits. Like Firo, it's got base 90 attack, which is okay in a vacuum, and it's got some nice offensive tools, but in practice, it needs more. Much, much, much more. In both attack and its other stats, which are utterly non-existent. Base 70 speed works for an offensive Pokemon if you're Gen 3 to 4 Metagross or Gen 6 to 8 Volcanion. Mightyena in any gen, not so much, because in addition to the aforementioned lack of attack, its other stats are a pitiful base 70 HP and defense, which ensure that even bolstered by Intimidate, its physical hit taking is going to be suspect, to put it generously. And base 60 special attack and special defense, because base 70 in those would have clearly been too much, it would have put Mightyena at a BST of 440, basically Firo tier, instead of the spectacularly paltry 420 that it actually clocks in at. Mightyena's BST is less than that of a fellow Gen 3 Pokemon, the second stage Lyron, and that's exactly why Mightyena needs to evolve. Mightyena Indiana already has the suggestions of some promise in its design, so all its evolution needs to do is give it the tools to reasonably deliver on that promise. As a dark type attacker, it needs to be fast and strong. Its attack should go to 115 and speed to 100, which is good but hardly overbearing at this generational stage. Its HP should be buffed to 100 as well, which might seem like a major leap, but still manages to be less than the boost Bisharp got upon evolving into King Gambit. We'll respect the intent to keep it weaker on the special side of things and not change anything, but in turn its defense should jump to a solid base 85. Now it's much more adroit at using both Intimidate and Moxie. With this plus 100 to its BSC, Mightyena joins the company of 520 BSC Pokemon like Starmie and Flygon. We've got to pump up its move pool too. It should absolutely receive close combat's excellent power and coverage, as seemingly everything has it nowadays. And its stab needs a jolt beyond crunch too, so knockoff it is. An argument could be made for giving it a secondary type, but we'll stick with Mono Dark for now. You'd have quite an interesting variety of sets that could be run in the lower tiers where this evolved Mightyena would wind up. Heavy Duty Boots and Assault Vest would combine offense and utility, while Choice Band, Life Orb, Extra Belt, and Black Glasses would unleash an all-out assault. Being able to see Mightyena in a version more faithful to its original intent, heck, to see competitive Mightyena at all, would be delightful. And speaking of Gen 3 Pokemon in need of an overhaul, our next Pokemon is Kecleon. Kecleon's color change concept is so original, so interesting, and so rife with potential. Even though it won't originally resist an attack, it will change into that attack's type afterward, in most cases becoming resistant to it, thus able to shrug it off and heal up with recover, especially on the special side, because Kecleon actually has an outstanding base 120 special defense. Kecleon also has an absolutely incredible utility move pool consisting of Stealth Rock, Knock Off, and Thunder Wave, and it's even got base 90 attack alongside a colorful coverage move pool, including Drain Punch's fight coverage that further restores health, so it's not completely passive. Kecleon also has Protean, which could also be amazing, but seeing as Gen 9 has nerfed the ability greatly, Kecleon's playstyle is less suited to using it. We want to focus on the entirely unique color change here. Sadly, for all of Kecleon's tremendous utility moves and special defense, it's a single stage Pokemon without sufficient overall stats, which leaves it at a meager Fearow-esque 440 BST, which is funny since most low BST Pokemon don't have any really high stats, but in this case, well over a third accounts for its special defense, leaving a strangely skewed stat spread like some sort of special defense Rampardos. So with an evolution, Kecleon could really feel like a final stage Pokemon that could do justice to its premise. You don't have to change much of anything, kind of like how when Lickitung became Licky Licky, it mostly just got more stats, and some cool new moves of course, like Swords Dance and Explosion. Kecleon's evolution wouldn't need to be so extreme, but in terms of moves, we do think it should get the hazard swapping court change, which feels like a move it would have learned in either of the past two gens had it actually been included. As for BSC, we're gonna push that high base special defense further up to 140, but the real buff comes from giving it an actual HP stat to work with. Kecleon's base HP is rather a sad 60, so we're gonna crank it up to 90, which is a major jump but not outrageously high. We also need to pump its attack. From base 90 up to 100 seems reasonable, as giving its Drain Punch some more juice will be nice both to respond to threats and to grab more passive healing now that Recover has been nerfed to 8 PP. Lastly, we're gonna give it the ability Color Change in the face of physical hits too, by sending its base defense from 70 to 95. With this plus 85 boost, Kecleon comes to a BSC of 525, putting it in some interesting company: Lucario, Hippowdon, and the Eeveelution. It still have the struggles that come with being a slow wall without being able to strike back particularly hard, but it'd be able to create a lower tier niche for itself that'd be thoroughly unique for how it effectively gained resist mid-battle. And next on our list, we have another Pokemon with one really high stat with Go-Goat. Go-Goat's BST of 531 is unique and actually quite good in its own right, largely stemming from its Titanic base 123 HP, while its 100 base attack and 97 base special attack are quite decent as well. BST-wise, it sits just above the 530 mark, which counts a great many starter Pokemon among its ranks ever since Gen 1 all the way to the present day, from Blastoise to Quaquaval. However, the reason Go-Goat has no competitive merit is, despite these, it feels thoroughly undercooked. Great HP tends to get undermined by low defensive stats, and Go-Goats are, well, not great. Its base 62 defense is pitiful, and its base 81 special defense is serviceable alongside that massive HP, but it certainly isn't great either. To cap things off, Go-Goat's speed clocks in at a slow base 68. These issues wouldn't be nearly so bad if it weren't for Go-Goat's main problem, which is that its move pool isn't high on the impact scale either. It's not bad, as you can do much worse than a generic bulky grass type, but Leech Seed and Reliable Recovery only go so far when there's not much much else to distinguish it. This is exactly why Gogo could use an evolution, to flesh itself out a little more and allow for higher stats to round out this niche. Gogo's evolution, other than the fact that it could definitely be named Goat Goat, thus needs two things. One, to tank hits more resoundingly. As of now, its HP and defenses just kind of average each other out. And two, to impact the battle more significantly. Unlike most of our other choices here, it doesn't need that much of an overall BST boost. In the same way, Rhyperior isn't that much higher stat-wise than Rhydon. So too will Goat Goat be a slight improvement on Go-Goat. HP will go from 123 to 127, defense from 62 to 70, and special defense from 81 to 85. Meanwhile, attack will go from 100 to 102, special attack from 97 to 99, and speed from 68 to 70. These incremental changes totaling plus 23 BST, assist in hit taking and damage dealing without going too crazy. At 554, Go-Goat now comes in just under both Arcanine forms, Petrarunt's Loyal 3 and Blood Moon Ursaluna. Lofty company to be sure, but Go-Goat's gotta be able to actually do something with these new stats. That's why we're proposing Grassy Surge as its new ability. It already has two grass related abilities, with Grass Pelt's defense boost specifically being tied to grassy terrain, so we think being able to set the terrain itself makes fine sense. Since Go-Goat is a mountain goat used to running across rough areas, it also seems like a Pokemon that can learn U-turn, so we're going to go ahead and give this to its evolution. This allows it to play like Rillaboom, set grassy terrain, U-turn out to bring in a teammate, but in a much more defensive capacity, with the extra focus on longevity brought by Milk Drink. And to really distinguish it, our final choice is to add a secondary ground typing. Go-Goat already alludes to this aspect in its move pool. A monograss type learning Earthquake is unusual, and it also gets high horsepower, which would actually be its preferred ground stab, so as to not be weakened by its own terrain. It'd also be the preferred choice in VGC, so as to not hit its partner. Plus, in both singles and doubles, it'd be newly able to threaten the poison types that normally thwart it. As a bonus, Goat Goat should probably learn Stealth Rock as well, adding to the support it can provide. It can already learn Rock Slide after all. And of course, it would have competition as a grassy terrain setter with Rillaboom and Tapu Bulu, and as a grass ground with Torterra and Toadstool. But it would no longer be a Pokemon of such notable BST, languishing completely uselessly and untiered as Goat Goat has in its entire career. And thank you so much to our Platinum patrons. Thank you to Amphozenus, Alex Sable, Anthony Belval Renault, Bingleton, Daniel Isbeast, Corman, Eric Dissing, Funky, Glitcherton, Howl, Jack G, King Yabber, Nightfall, Megamon VGC, Mojo Gameslayer, Nurse Jake, Pretzel SP, Soljiro Sakura, Spavoon, Gylaria, Soros and Croxin, Shiwei Miji, Stoneface Colin, Kiboflu, Wardeen, for their major support of our videos.